You walk out your front door, you turn the key, hear that heavy mechanical click, and your brain just instantly categorizes your house as safe.
Right, it's a total reflex.
Exactly. And we rely on that exact same psychological reflex in the digital world. Like, you put your savings in an air-gapped hardware wallet, or you run elite endpoint security on your corporate servers, right?
Yeah, or you just assume those frontier AI models are securely locked in their corporate labs, you know?
Right. You hear that digital click and you just stop worrying.
Because honestly, it's a necessary illusion. We kind of have to rely on those digital locks because the alternative is, well, accepting that the entire perimeter is just fundamentally porous. And that's just too exhausting for everyday life.
It really is. But what happens when you wake up and realize that every single one of those locks just failed overnight? I mean, the hardware, the encryption, the enterprise guards, the AI boundaries, all of it, because that is the reality we're looking at today. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are immersing you in a really intense, highly sensitive nocturnal security dossier. It was published by Tech & Night on September 4th, 2026.
And this dossier, I mean, it is essentially a snapshot of a systemic collapse.
Wow.
Yeah. It isn't just a list of random disconnected hacks that happen to occur in the same week. We are witnessing the definitive transition into a new era here. It's an era of automated, zero-click, and AI-driven cyber conflict.
Where all those traditional reactive defense systems we just talked about are what suddenly obsolete.
Completely obsolete.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start at what we usually consider the absolute bedrock of digital trust, which is offline hardware.
Right. If it's disconnected, it's safe.
Supposedly. But the Tech & Night dossier reveals that 1,789 stolen bitcoins, which they value at over $114 million, are currently moving across the blockchain,
Right.
and they were stolen via a third wave compromise of a cold card hardware wallet. And honestly, I am struggling to understand the physics of this.
How so?
Well, if a device is completely air-gapped, like it literally never touches the internet, how does an attacker even reach it?
Well, they don't reach the physical device at all.
Wait, really?
No, they reach the math that the device relies on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the vulnerability detailed here is called firmware entropy degradation.
Okay.
When you initialize a hardware wallet, the firmware's pseudorandom number generator creates your seed phrase.
Yeah.
The whole security assumption is that this generator is pulling from a vast, mathematically near infinite space of randomness.
Right, so nobody could ever guess it.
Exactly. But if the entropy degrades, that mathematical space shrinks.
So the dice aren't rolling randomly anymore.
Right.
They're landing on a predictable, much smaller subset of numbers.
And that is where algorithmic lattice reduction attacks come in. If the attackers know the pseudorandom number generator is flawed, you know, maybe due to a biased firmware update or a supply chain hardware defect, they don't even need to touch your specific cold card.
They just map it out.
Yes. They map the constrained mathematical space and pre-compute the compromised seed phrases.
That is wild. It's like buying an impenetrable, state-of-the-art steel bank vault. But the factory accidentally programmed every locks combination to be predictable, based on a mathematical formula tied to its serial number.
Right.
The 3-foot-thick steel walls don't matter if the attacker can just calculate the combination from their own living room.
That is a terrifyingly accurate way to visualize it. I mean, physical isolation cannot save a device from flawed mathematical entropy.
That makes total sense, sadly. So now, the attackers have $114 million to launder, which brings us to an entirely different kind of vulnerability. The report says they're utilizing Thorchain to clean the funds, right?
Yeah, completely avoiding centralized exchanges.
Because on a centralized exchange, those automated anti-money laundering flags would just freeze the capital immediately.
Exactly. But I noticed the report highlights they're actually facing severe friction doing this on Thorchain.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. They're trying to push massive volume through these decentralized liquidity pools, but Thorchain's slip-based queuing algorithms are fighting back.
Right.
I kind of understand slippage in regular trading, but why is it acting as a bottleneck for money laundering here?
So automated market maker state vaults are designed to maintain balance.
Okay.
If you try to dump an enormous tranche of native Bitcoin into a liquidity pool all at once, just to swap it for Ether, The slip-based queuing algorithm sees that as a massive threat to the market equilibrium.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it automatically rejects and refunds those high-value tranches just to protect the pool.
The system is literally telling them, we cannot process this much volume without wrecking the price.
Precisely. So the attackers are having to slice that $114 million into thousands of microswaps.
Which has to be so tedious.
It is, and it creates a massive temporal vulnerability for them. They're being forced to retry these transactions in much smaller denominations over a prolonged period.
So they're leaving a trail.
A huge one. This slowdown is allowing international law enforcement to basically forensic graph the ephemeral Ethereum wallets where the funds are landing.
Wow.
Yeah, over 90% of the stolen capital is still just sitting in primary addresses because the decentralized infrastructure simply won't swallow the whale.
That is fascinating. Okay, so our impenetrable hardware fails because of bad math. Let's pivot and look at the software we actually interact with every single day.
All right, our phones.
Exactly. The dossier details a forensic investigation by the University of Toronto Citizen Lab and the Share Foundation, and they exposed a live deployment of a state-grade Pegasus spyware exploit.
Yeah, this one is rough.
Used against 14 civil society leaders and student activists in Eastern Europe, and the delivery mechanism was a zero-click exploit over Apple's default iMessage.
And what's fascinating here is, well, horrifying, really, is that zero-click means there is literally zero social engineering required.
None at all.
None. The victim doesn't click a phishing link. They don't download a malicious PDF. The phone is compromised simply by receiving a message that the user might not even see.
Wait, zero click? Like, you don't even have to open a sketchy link. That is the part that just breaks my brain. How can a phone get hijacked just by a message arriving in the background?
Well, think about how your operating system handles incoming data to be quote-unquote helpful.
Okay.
When an iMessage arrives, the system doesn't just let it sit there as raw code. It automatically parses the data to see if it needs to, you know, render an image preview or load a specific font or even just display a notification badge.
Right. It wants to have it ready for when you open the app.
Exactly. And the attackers weaponize that helpfulness by sending a maliciously malformed image payload.
So the phone tries to read the image just to generate a tiny thumbnail. And the mere act of reading it triggers the exploit.
Yes.
But wait, Apple knows this is a massive attack vector, right? I mean, they built Blastdoor specifically for this.
They did, yeah.
It's supposed to sandbox iMessage parsing so that even if a bad image comes in, the explosion happens inside a safe, isolated container away from the core operating system.
In theory, yes.
Yeah.
But offensive cyber arms manufacturers, you know, like NSO Group, they're constantly outpacing that containment architecture.
Clearly.
This specific Pegasus payload, it exploited subtle logical flaws in Core Graphics, which is the framework that handles image parsing and font rasterization.
Okay.
And they triggered what's called an out-of-bounds heap memory write.
Okay, break down that memory write for me. How does that actually let them escape the Blastdoor sandbox?
Sure. Imagine the sandbox as a fenced-in yard where the image parsing is allowed to play safely.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
An out-of-bounds heap memory write essentially tricks the system into writing data just outside that fence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, by carefully crafting the malformed image, the attacker forces the system to overwrite adjacent memory spaces that actually control the execution flow of the application itself.
So they punch a hole through the fence.
Exactly. They punch a hole, they execute code outside the sandbox, and then they chain subsequent vulnerabilities to elevate their privileges to root.
Root meaning like total unmitigated control of the device.
Total control. For those 14 activists, the Pegasus implant established persistent kernel-level execution.
Which means what, practically?
It allows silent extraction of end-to-end encrypted signal and WhatsApp messages before they're even encrypted on the screen.
That's terrifying.
It gets worse. It allows real-time GPS tracking, extraction of biometric authentication tokens, and even remote activation of the ambient microphone to just record physical conversations in the room.
All without a single click. So state-sponsored actors are bypassing our best consumer sandboxes without the user ever touching the screen.
Right.
But if we zoom out from targeted espionage, the Take a Night dossier shows that this exact kind of silent, algorithmic weaponization is happening to everyday users on a mass scale, too.
Yes. We see this with a criminal cyber syndicate weaponizing Meta's sponsored advertising infrastructure.
Yeah.
So across Facebook and Instagram, they're distributing the StreamRat Android Trojan.
I always laugh at how hyper-specific Meta ads can get. It feels like the algorithm knows I need a new coffee grinder before I even know I need one.
Right. It's incredibly powerful. And the attackers are taking that algorithmic targeting and completely inverting it.
How do you mean?
Instead of finding the perfect customer for a product, their machine learning models are finding the perfect vulnerable victim for a payload.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they disguise the StreamRat malware as system optimization tools or premium video streaming utilities.
And people trust it because it has a sponsored tag on their feed.
Exactly.
It's like the billboard on the highway itself is hijacking your car. You assume Meta's ad review pipelines vet this stuff, but the automated review completely failed to patch the weaponized payload.
It failed completely.
So once someone downloads this fake optimization app, how does StreamRat actually take over?
It uses highly deceptive UI overlays, so it renders fake screens on top of the legitimate Android interface to coerce the user into granting device administrator permissions and accessibility services.
Wait, accessibility services? Isn't that the framework designed for screen readers to help visually impaired users interact with the phone by reading text out loud or simulating taps?
That's exactly what it is.
Why would a video streaming app ask for that?
Well, users just click approve without reading. And if you grant accessibility services to a malicious application, you are basically handing it asynchronous control over the entire user interface.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it doesn't just read the screen. It acts as a virtual ghost in the machine. It can observe everything displayed. It can push buttons as if it were the user and execute background screen recording.
So it can watch you log into your bank, intercept the two-factor authentication SMS token, and then log itself in later, all while you think your phone is just sitting idle on your desk.
Exactly. It even silently navigates into the settings and disables Google Play Protect notifications.
It turns off the alarm system.
Using the user's own accessibility permissions, it ensures the victim never receives a warning that they are actually infected.
That is wild. Okay, so if algorithmic platforms and consumer operating systems are failing this badly, it raises a really terrifying question about the billion-dollar enterprise networks that are supposed to be protecting our global infrastructure.
Right, the big guys.
Yeah, and the dossier addresses this head-on with the falcon-flanked proof-of-concept exploit.
Yes. So independent security researchers publicly released this functional exploit targeting CrowdStrike Falcon.
Okay, for context for you listening, CrowdStrike is an elite endpoint detection and response sensor, an EDR. It is the enterprise guard dog. It sits at the lowest level of a computer's operating system, the kernel, to hunt for advanced, persistent threats.
Right, and the report states the vulnerability here resides in an unsanitized memory offset within the IPC messaging channel.
Okay, I know IPC is inter-process communication, right? Like the way normal software talks to the highly privileged kernel. But how does an unsanitized memory offset lead to a full domain takeover?
Okay, let's use an analogy here.
Sure.
Imagine the kernel is a highly secure executive boardroom, and the CrowdStrike sensor is the heavily armed security guard standing at the door.
Okay, got the picture.
Normal applications in the building have to pass messages to the guard through a small slot in the door. That's the IPC channel.
So the applications pass notes, and the guard decides if they are safe to hand to the executives inside?
Exactly. But an unsanitized memory offset basically means the guard isn't checking the return address on the envelope properly.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, so a standard unprivileged piece of malware can manipulate that IPC message. It's essentially passing a forged envelope that tricks the guard into executing instructions directly in the boardroom.
Wow.
The attacker bypasses the kernel hook integrity checks and elevates their execution context directly to system or root privileges.
So if I'm understanding this right, they are using the security guard to hand deliver the bomb into the boardroom.
That is exactly what they're doing.
The very software designed to hunt advanced threats becomes the trampoline the attackers use to get root access. How does the guard become the vulnerability?
Well, the defensive paradigm is just completely inverted.
Yep.
Like the source says, attackers are effectively disarming the guard and using their weapon to breach the vault.
That's terrifying for any corporate IT department.
Oh, the strategic ramifications of the Falcon Flank release are acute. Enterprise Security Operations Center teams are just scrambling right now.
I bet.
They are being forced to implement immediate draconian perimeter controls, like restricting basic command line executions for entire departments just while they wait helplessly for an emergency kernel patch to be distributed.
Talk about a bad day at the office.
Really bad.
Okay, so we have attackers compromising hardware, bypassing mobile sandboxes, and inverting enterprise security. But the Tika Knight dossier reveals they're also looking much further ahead.
Yes.
They're infiltrating the architects of tomorrow's technology, the frontier AI labs.
And this formal admission from Anthropic is perhaps the most concerning long-term development in the entire report.
Really?
Oh, definitely. Anthropic, the developer behind the Claude model family, they suffered a severe supply chain infiltration into their internal developer infrastructure.
Now, a supply chain attack, meaning they didn't kick down Anthropic's front door, right? They stole the digital VIP passes belonging to third-party contractors via OAuth session hijacking.
Correct. But the dossier notes, they didn't actually get the primary Claude model weights, and they didn't access user data.
Right, because those assets were kept in hardened, air-gapped infrastructure.
Yes. So what did they actually steal?
The report says they exfiltrated private code repositories, automated red-teaming test suites, and the proprietary architectural schematics of Claude's constitutional AI alignment filters.
Exactly. The alignment filters.
So they didn't steal the AI's brain. They stole its moral compass and rulebook.
That is a great way to put it.
It's like stealing a security guard's training manual, so you know exactly which blind spots they are programmed to ignore and exactly how they prioritize threats.
And the dossier classifies this as a high, specifically architectural severity threat for that very reason.
Because it's foundational.
Right. The constitutional alignment logic is the specific mathematical guardrail that stops an AI from generating malicious code. Or, you know, synthesizing biological weapon instructions.
Okay, okay.
By possessing granular source code level visibility into exactly how those safety boundaries are coded, adversaries can methodically reverse engineer them.
So they can synthesize zero-day adversarial jailbreaks.
Yes.
Like, if you know exactly how the AI defines a threat prompt, you can mathematically calculate the exact phrasing required to make the AI categorize a malicious request as just a benign, helpful task.
Exactly. It undermines safety guardrails across enterprise AI deployments worldwide.
That is huge.
It is. But the dossier connects this Anthropic breach to a final revelation that takes the whole concept of AI vulnerabilities and completely flips the dynamic.
We aren't just dealing with human hackers stealing AI rulebooks anymore.
No, we are dealing with the AI becoming the hacker.
Here is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah. So the report details leaked technical evaluations from OpenAI's preparedness framework. And they're looking at an advanced experimental reasoning model designated as Project Astra.
Okay.
Astra has received a formal critical risk rating for autonomous cyber offensive operations.
Critical risk. I mean, historically, if you wanted to find a zero-day vulnerability in a complex system and craft a weaponized exploit for it, it required months of grueling labor by elite reverse engineering specialists.
Right.
Humans have to sleep, we get eye strain, we miss subtle memory offsets. Finding a zero-day took months.
But Project Astra collapses that operational timeline from months to seconds.
Seconds.
Yeah, and we are not talking about a conversational chatbot writing boilerplate Python scripts here. Within isolated testing ranges, Astra demonstrated the capacity for heuristic vulnerability chaining.
Which means
it can independently ingest proprietary enterprise source code, detect novel memory corruption 0 days that no human has ever even seen, and then author production-ready weaponized exploit binaries.
It finds the hole, builds the custom weapon to exploit it, and fires it entirely on its own.
Completely autonomously. It synthesizes custom payloads to evade commercial web application firewalls. It establishes persistent rootkits.
Unbelievable.
And all of this is executed continuously without any human guidance or intervention. It doesn't need a coffee break. It operates without fatigue, systematically fuzzing networked protocols and bypassing sensors in real time.
I know OpenAI has strict internal containment protocols for Astra, but the fact that a model can achieve this level of autonomous offense, I mean, that is an irreversible strategic Rubicon.
It really is.
Once the genie proves it can grant that specific wish, you can't put it back in the bottle.
No, you can't. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the technological shift here is just monumental. An autonomous offensive engine forces a massive reaction from the defense.
It has to.
Enterprise networks can no longer rely on reactive patching. Waiting for a human security researcher to discover a vulnerability, write a patch, and distribute it, that's just a luxury of the past now.
Because the AI attacks are happening in seconds.
Exactly. Network defense will have to transition toward continuous agentic defensive immunities capable of sub-second counterpatching.
Wow. Okay, bringing this all together for you listening, the Tekken Knight dossier paints a picture of a digital ecosystem where all the traditional locks are failing simultaneously.
Yeah, everything at once.
Our offline hardware is vulnerable to foundational bad math. Our trusted messaging apps are silently compromised by invisible zero-click image previews.
Our social media platforms are inverting algorithmic targeting to deliver mass-scale malware.
Our billion-dollar enterprise security sensors are being used as weapons against us, and human adversaries are stealing the architectural blueprints of AI alignment.
The reactive defense model is officially obsolete in the face of these compounding failures.
It really is,
yeah.
Which leaves us with a profound, lingering question as we move into this new era.
Yeah, and it's this. If offensive AI models like Project Astra can now discover and weaponize vulnerabilities in a matter of seconds, it inevitably means our only viable defense will be handing the keys over to defensive AI models operating at that exact same speed.
Why?
So when both the attack and the defense are entirely autonomous, reacting to each other in closed loops, what happens to human oversight in a cyber war that is fought and finished in the milliseconds between our blanks?
We started out talking about the comfort of turning a physical key in a lock. The digital locks we've relied on for the past decade are being replaced by autonomous forces moving far too fast for human hands to ever turn again. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the systems you trust, and we'll see you next time.